This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wasalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa ala. Inshallah, we'll continue our discussion about the dar al-akhirah. And before we speak about death and what happens in the grave and Jannah, Jahannam, all these things, we've been talking in the last couple of months about the good deeds that we can do in this dunya to prepare for akhirah. And we said that some of the things that would be heavy in our scales on the Day of Judgment don't actually cost you any money. They're actually free. Most of them, for example, like adhkar, we say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, the adhkar, they are very pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't cost you any money. They don't take much of your time. And also, good manners. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the heaviest things in the scales on the Day of Judgment. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَحُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ. To be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have good manners. They don't cost you anything. You don't have to pay anything. So the good manners and the small things here and there that we do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most pleasing deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that are very consistent, even if they are very small. Put $1 charity in the masjid all the time. If I see a homeless person in the street, I give them something to drink or something to eat. Something small, it doesn't have to be much. فذكرنا في خطبة من الخطب إنه أحب الأعمال لله سبحانه وتعالى بعد العبادات مسألة جبر الخواطر. وأنا يعني أحب أن أتكلم في هذا الموضوع كثيرا لأنه كلنا يحتاج إلى هذا الموضوع. يعني كل واحد فينا عنده ضغوطات ومشاكل في حياته فيحتاج أن الناس يعني ترعاه وتجبر خاطره. One of the best deeds we can do after عبادات, as the scholars say, is جبر الخاطر. And I spoke about this before. Because each and every one of us, we have difficulties in life and we have problems. And you don't want people to come and dump their own problems on your shoulders. You want people to come and put joy on your face and happiness in your heart. Just to help you out in this difficult time. And I mentioned before, each and every one of us, regardless of your job, whether you're a teacher, a cab driver, an imam, a doctor, you have, you know, concerns, you have worries, you have difficulties in your life. If you go to school, you have papers to do, you have to deal with bullies. And if you are married, then you have problems. Maybe you have issues in your house with your kids, with your wife, or if there are some sisters with your husband. So each one of us has issues in their lives. And even if we don't have issues here in Canada, maybe you have family back home. In Syria, you are trying to get them out. In Palestine, in Iraq, and Pakistan. We have issues. We have, you know, concerns. And you need someone to come and help you out, not to put problems on your back. So I'll give you one example about myself as an imam. People always come to me with their problems. If they have a good time, they're enjoying the life, I never see their face. But when they have problems, marriage issues, they're shooting at each other, calling the police on each other, chairs, baseball clubs, weapons of mass destruction, they're killing each other off. Now they come to me with their problems, and I try to help them. I'll give you one example. Not sure if I mentioned the example before, but one day, Eid, I was in Edmonton. So I was getting ready to go inside the Musalla to lead the Salatul Eid, Eid al-Adha, and give a short talk so people can go and chase their kharuf and do their qurbani. So I'm on the way to do the Salah. A brother stopped me, and he said, I need counseling. And I said, can we talk after Salah and after the talk? He said, no, it's an emergency. I need to talk to you right now. It's urgent. Okay. So what is your problem? And he said, can I divorce my wife right now? I said, man, this is the day of Eid. I'm going to lead Salah, give khutbah. Maybe we can talk tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, but not today. Not about divorce and all that stuff. So he said, when can I come back? And I said, well, I'll make an appointment for you after 2 years, right? So people don't choose the right time to come, man, and make you miserable. One time, one brother came to me. I was going to give khutbatul Jum'ah. And normally, most of the imams, before Jum'ah, they don't eat. They don't talk to anyone. You are focused. You have a blender in your head. You know, you have to focus on what you are going to say and to make nice khutbah, right? And he came to me, well, I have a question, I need your help. Okay, can you wait till after Jum'ah? No, I have to ask you now, I can't sleep at night, I need the answer. Okay, tell me. He said, الجن بيبيض ولا بيولد? Do the jinn give birth or lay eggs? I said, get out of here, man. Leave me alone. Who cares about the jinn? يعني, we have two types of knowledge in Islam. يعني في علم, العلم به ينفع والجهل به يضر. زي علم الحلال والحرام والصرفي. The second type, لا العلم به ينفع ولا الجهل به يضر. وانت لما عرفتش الجن بيبيض ولا يولد ده يأثر معك في حاجة. So there are two types of knowledge in Islam. And knowledge that if you have will benefit you, if you don't have it will harm you. Like the knowledge of halal and haram, how to make ibadah, namaz, all these things. You have to have this knowledge. But there is the other type of knowledge that if you have, it will not benefit you. If you don't have it, it will never harm you. Right? Like whether jinn lay eggs or give birth, or which ear do the jinn whisper to? Like do they come to you from the right ear or the left? Who cares, man? Right? So people make my life difficult sometimes. And each one of you has similar issues. طبعاً, I spoke before about Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, one of the things that he used to do. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم smiled even in the most difficult of times. And I gave the example, I like to give this example all the time. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was trying to defend the Ummah in Medina. He was receiving delegations, sending letters to kings. The people of Mecca were trying to attack him, and they were persecuting his friends, they were killing them, and so on and so forth. Abu Talib passed away, Khadija died, and 6 out of the 7 children of the Prophet ﷺ died. So this shows you how much difficulties the Prophet ﷺ had in his life. But one thing we know about the Prophet ﷺ for sure, as the Sahaba said, مَا رَأَيْنَا أَحَدًا أَكْثَرَ تَبَسُّمًا مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. They said, we never saw anyone who smiled more than the Prophet ﷺ. So he had this smile on his face. Not only that, he had a smile on his face, but he tried to put a smile on people's faces. And I have to repeat this example. I like it so much. It's an authentic hadith in al-Nasa'i. One of the Ansar, he had a little kid, 2-3 years old, this beautiful age. But before that, like, if they are 1 year old, بيمر بمرحلة نسميها مرحلة الحمار. تقعد تضحك فيه تكلمه وهو عامل لك كده كده ما بيتحركش صح؟ ما فيش أي. They pass through different stages in their life, the kids. So when they are a few months old, you try to make them laugh, you talk to them, they're just like a stone. They don't talk to you. And also when they hit a certain age, they start to talk back to you. It's very hard to deal with them. But 2-3 years old, this is the best age, right? They smile, they laugh, they listen to you, they like you, they hug you, This is the best age. So one of the Sahaba, in Sahih al-Nasa'i, Muslim al-Nasa'i, so he used to come to the halaqah of the Prophet ﷺ, with his son, 2-3 years old. And mashallah, it seems from this authentic hadith, he used to love his son so much. And he used to sit in the halaqah of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Sahaba said he used to hug his son and kiss him and laugh with him. So after some time, توقف عن المجيء لحلقة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا الأنصار اللي كان عنده ابن صغير. فسأل عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالوا يا رسول الله مات ابنه. فالراجل تحصر وجلس في البيت لا يخرج. حزين. تمام؟ So at some point he stopped coming to the halaqah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, okay, what happened? Why is he not coming to the halaqah anymore? And the Sahaba said, يا رسول الله, his son died in this beautiful age. And subhanAllah, we love our kids, and even when someone has a miscarriage, it's very difficult for them. I had a couple of miscarriages before, and this is a very difficult time. And even if it's still like an embryo, still inside, but if you have a miscarriage, it's a very difficult time. Now imagine if you have your son or daughter, 2-3 years old, subhanAllah, you love them more than yourself. And if you lose them in this age and there's nothing you can do, you feel powerless, you feel helpless, you feel sorry, basically. I remember a story that happened, I think it happened in somewhere here in Canada. And I was told the story, I was not a witness, but they said that there was a brother, he had a son, and his son died, and it was summertime, very young. He had an issue, leukemia, I don't know what the issue was. So his son died, and his son was actually a few months old. And he took his son to the burial. Of course, they did small janaza for him and everything, and he was taking him to the burial site, the graveyard. And he put his son in a small box with him in the front seat. And he put the seat belt and everything. And this brother had like a shad or a scarf around his neck. And he was driving to the graveyard. And so when he took a U-turn, the sun was straight in his face. So he felt the heat of the sun. So automatically, he took the scarf from his neck and he put it on his son's face to protect him from the sun. Like he was trying to protect his son. For a second, he assumed that his son was alive and the son would hurt him. So automatically, naturally, he took it out and put it on his son's face to protect him from the sun. Then he started to cry. You know, so this beautiful age. So the Prophet ﷺ went to this Ansari and he said, يعني أما يرضيك ألا تأتي بابا من أبواب الجنة إلا وجدت ابنك عنده فيأخذ بيدك إلى الجنة. He said, will you not be happy when you come on the day of judgment? And wherever you go, whenever you take, you try to take one of the eight gates of Jannah, you will find your son standing there. He will take your hand and take you straight to Jannah. No questions asked. He will make shafa'ah for you. I'm going to digress for just a few seconds. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر في أحاديث كثيرة لأنه طبعا أصعب شيء يمر بالإنسان أصعب مصيبة تمر بالإنسان هو أن يموت ابنه في حياته كما هو معروف. يعني this, everyone knows that the most difficult thing that can happen to you in your life, والعياذ بالله, if you lose a child in your life. This is the most difficult thing. ولذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى جلال الدين السيوطي اللي هو صح اللي شارك في تأليف تفسير الجلالين ألف كتابا وضع فيه الأحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التي تكلم عن فضل من يصبر على موت ابنه أو بنته في السن الصغير فسماه كتاب كامل فضل الجلد على فقد الولد. So in this book he put all the hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم that talk about the reward that a person gets when they lose a son. And of course in all these hadith the only reward the person gets is Jannah. There is no other reward, right? If the person is patient. So again, the Prophet ﷺ, not only was he smiling, but he was trying to put a smile on someone's face. And in this hadith, the man who lost his son, he started to smile and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm happy, khalas. If this is what I will get in Akhirah, I'm happy, I'm pleased. I'm going to mention a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. I'm almost done. We'll be done in just 5 minutes, inshallah. هذا الحديث في الطبراني other books of hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أحب الناس إلى الله أنفعهم للناس. The most beloved people to Allah are those who are beneficial to people. They help people, right? So they're not selfish, they're not greedy, they try to help other people. وأحب الأعمال إلى الله سرور تدخله على مسلم. The most beloved thing to Allah, the best thing that Allah likes to do is when you put a smile on someone's face. This is in the authentic hadith. أو تكشف عنه كربة, or to remove a hardship or a difficulty from someone. You see someone suffering, you try to help them. And this is very pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أو تقضي عنه دينا, you pay off their debt. أو تطرد عنه جوعا, you feed them when they are very hungry. ولن أمشي مع أخي في حاجة أحب إلي من أن أعتكف في المسجد شهرا. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if I walk with my brother to fulfill a need they have, this is better for me than doing i'tikaf in the masjid in Medina. Yani for example, if someone is proposing to a sister and he doesn't have a family with him, you go with him to help him propose, alhamdulillah, you get the reward. Someone is looking for a job, you go to the land, you know, the employer and tell them, mashallah, this is a good brother, and maybe give them a job. If you do shafa'ah, then this is better than doing i'tikaf for a whole month. وَمَنْ كَفَّ غَضَبَهُ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَوْرَتَهُ. When you are very angry, like sometimes people, يعني, they push your button and they make you like go crazy. But if you control your anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover you with His rahmah. وَمَنْ كَذَمَ غَيْظًا وَلَوْ شَاءَ أَنْ يُمْضِيَهُ أَمْضَاهُ مَلَأَ اللَّهُ قَلْبَهُ نُورًا أَوْ رِضًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And if you control your anger, we are very mad, and if you are able to translate your anger into destruction, like you give someone a black eye, you break their neck, but you still hold yourself and control yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill your heart with contentment and satisfaction, gratification on the Day of Judgment. وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخِيهِ فِي حَاجَتِهِ حَتَّى يُثْبِتَهَا لَهُ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامِ. And when you walk with your brother until he fulfills his needs, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your feet firm on the Day of Judgment when the feet stumble on the Sirat and other places on the Day of Judgment. وَإِنَّ سُوءَ الْخُلُقِ لَيُفْسِدُ الْعَمَلَ كَمَا يُفْسِدُ الْخَلَّ الْعَسَلِ. Bad manners spoil good deeds, just like vinegar spoils honey. So this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I'm going to conclude with a couple of quick examples that I gave before in the khutbah. So because I see a lot of new faces here, most likely you didn't hear the stories before. One of them was Dr. Abdul Kalam from India. And this is a beautiful story. So Dr. Abdul Kalam, he was the former president of India. And he said that when he was young, he came one day from his school. He was like 7-8 years old. He came from work, and he came with his father. His father came from work, and he was like everyone was hungry, and they came home, and Dr. Abdul Kalam's mother burned the food. I don't know if it was biryani, shabati, you know, some kind of food. So what happened? The mother was making like she was apologizing. And the father said, you know, it's okay, kui masalan, hey, no problem, inshallah, we can eat it. And he was actually eating with a smile on his face. So Dr. Abdul Kalam said, that night, I went to my dad in his room and I said, Dad, tell me the truth. Did you really like the food? And food can kwais, ilakli can kwais. He said, son, wallahi, I'll be honest with you. When I was eating, I was about to throw up because the food was horrible, right? But I didn't want to break your mom's heart. She was doing the food. She was standing in the kitchen the whole day. And I didn't want to break her heart. And she does good food all the time. It's not a problem if, you know, the food is spoiled once or twice a year. It's not a big deal. And he said, son, I never heard of anyone who died because of burnt biryani or shawarma or mansaf or, you know, never heard of anyone who died because they ate burnt biryani. But I know a lot of people whose hearts were broken and they were stressed out because of hurtful words, you know? So this is why I didn't hurt your mother's feelings. I said, it's okay, alhamdulillah, khalas. It's not a big deal. The other example, and I imagine, subhanAllah, now if you go home now and the food is burnt, big problem, man, big problem. Talaq, and I hear stories, subhanAllah. So we take it easy, inshallah. The last example for today, and this is one of my favorite examples, the story of Brother Basim. It happened in Greenville, South Carolina. I was there for about 3-4 years. And I was good friends with Brother Basim from Palestine. So he told us the story that he used to go to the masjid, and he knew a brother who used to go to the masjid. And the other brother was kind of old, in his 70s and retired. So Brother Basim asked him one day, did you go to Hajj? And the brother said, no, I didn't. He said, why? He said, well, I can't afford it. I would love to, but I don't have the money. So Brother Basim said, okay. Then Brother Basim, he knew some business people in the community, and he spoke to them. And he said, this is a good brother. He's coming to the masjid all the time. He would like to go for Hajj, but he can't afford it. Can we help him out? Back then, you need to have like 8,500 to pay for the Hajj in the US dollars. So Brother Basim said, within a few days, I spoke to some people, and half of them didn't even know the brother. He said, we raised close to $11,000. Someone chipped in 500, someone put $5, some put 15. We came up with $11,000. I gave them to the brother, and we bought his tickets. We sent him for Hajj. Then this old brother, when he came back, Brother Basim went to visit him. So the brother who came from Hajj, he said, wallahi, I wanted to buy you a gift from Mecca or Medina. I was going around in the stores. I didn't find a suitable gift for you. But I thought that the best gift I would give you is to make dua for you during the Hajj, the day of Jum'ah, after Salatul Jum'ah. I stood in front of Kaaba and I made dua for you. I said, Ya Allah, innahu qad as'adani fi dunya, Allahumma fa'adkhil surura ala qalbi fi dunya wal akhirah. He said, Ya Allah, this brother made me happy in dunya. Ya Allah, make him happy in dunya and akhirah. Then brother Basim started to cry and the brother started to cry. So he put a smile on his face and he didn't have to pay all the amount. He just, maybe he put $20, $50 and everyone put something. And they sent the brother for Hajj. So that's all we need to do, inshallah, to put a smile on someone's face. You either remove a hardship from them, help them financially if you can, help them physically if you can, or at least say a good word. And if someone is, if you don't have the financial ability, physical ability to help someone, at least give them nasiha, tell them something nice. There's a guha lama galu lisa'il awz yakul fa guha alu ma'adnash ak. فألح الرجل في الطرف فجح ضربه وقال له امشي فقال له يعني السائل يعني إذا ما كانش عندكم فلوس أو طعام تعطوه للناس يعني على الأقل يبقى في أدب. So someone came to Juha to ask for food and Juha didn't have food and he said okay we don't have anything to give you and the man said please I need food and the man said okay we don't have nothing just get out here and he pushed him and he fell on the floor and the man said if you guys cannot afford food at least you can afford some manners. You don't pay money for manners. You know, you just need to be nice. So, the last thing I want to say on how to help people and put a smile on their face and remove difficulties from them, the Prophet ﷺ in authentic hadith, he said, he was asked about the most beloved deeds to Allah, and he said, when you help people out financially, and the man said, well, what if I don't have the money? Then the Prophet ﷺ said, يعني, you help them physically, carry stuff with them, their grocery, you know, shovel their snow, cut their grass. And the man said, well, if I don't have the physical ability to help. And the Prophet ﷺ said, help them verbally, give them nasiha, tell them what to do. And the man said, well, what if I don't have the knowledge to do? And the Prophet ﷺ in this authentic hadith, there are different narrations in Bukhari, Muslim, other books, he said something remarkable, subhanAllah. Wallah, if you frame this and put it in your house, you will be happy in your life and you will make people happy. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you cannot help people financially, physically, verbally, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ أَن تَنْفَعْ فَلَا تَضُرْ فَهَذَا صَدَقَةٌ لَكْ. He said, if you're not able to help people, if you're not able to benefit them, at least don't harm them. And this is the best sadaqah you can give, right? So for example, I've seen this. In some places, maybe they built a new masjid or a school, and there's someone in the community who would like to become the imam just because he knows Fatiha, or he would like to be a board member, no one likes him. So he tells his wife, if you don't vote for me, talaq. So he gets one vote in the elections, so he was not elected. Now he is mad at the community. If they have a fundraise, so he's not paying anything, of course, sure enough. But if he's not paying, he will go around and tell everyone in the community that these people who are fundraising to build a masjid or a school, they are thieves, chor, right? So don't give them. They are thieves, don't help them. So he's not helping and he's harming, right? If you're not able to help, at least don't harm. And this is the best thing you can do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who do jabrul khatir and to help us put a smile on people's faces or remove difficulties from them. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وجزاكم الله خيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.